Blog Talk Radio.
Change.
Another semi-smooth beginning here at Erie House Radio. Smooth as stepped glass. Good evening. Welcome. Come on in. Lots of room. I'm Dale Kaye from Spook Show, here along with...
Dave Binkley from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And
we are here along with...
nobody else, yeah. We're here along with Fogs and GGSI Papers so far. And glad to see them hanging around tonight, Dale.
Hanging around?
Hanging around.
I'm sorry about the rough beginning. It's all about the execution, and the execution is what we've been dealing with all weekend long.
And you're killing
one
it,
kind
Dale.
Or another.
Huh? Yes.
Hey, one thing about we can say about Dave, me and Dave, we'll work till we drop.
Even
and
if it's
we have.
Upright. Yep.
And we
have.
Yes.
We can even do it in an upright position, because if we do it laying down, we don't get paid.
No.
Oh my, a lot of fun last night. If you get a chance and didn't hear it, you got to tune in, especially to hear that the amazing episode of Lights Out. So different yet so similar. Well, just a great story written by Arch Obler. And,
yep, and I took the title too literally, didn't I?
It did. And I tell you what, there's another, if you don't listen in the after party, sometimes you ought to tune in if you see it's extra long. We get into some just completely different conversations sometimes. I thought we had a pretty interesting one last night. And it just goes a completely different direction from whatever the topic was of the day. And it just rolls along. So for those of you who are listening in the archives, welcome back. For those who aren't, why aren't you? No. But if you're live, you know, you might want to check next day to see if there's an extra long one. Because
everybody likes an extra long
one. You get some very interesting side talks to us, especially when CW calls in towards the end of the program.
You know, that's another thing that Dave and I were talking about before the beginning of the show, folks. Not to be sucking up to you too much, but at the same time, we just love the comments that you leave in the chat. We love it when you call and share your memories, your thoughts, your humor. It makes doing this worthwhile. Sharing these old time radio shows, having a few yucks, and then and watching old people try to stay awake late. So that's always a good time.
he's referring to us.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh my, yes. And we have a lot of fun, not only just being here and jabbering along with each other and with you guys, but also by sharing these great radio programs. Tonight, Dale, we have a classic Ambrose Spears story, a guy born in Ohio, grew up mostly in Indiana, but born, so we're still claiming him.
Yes, we are.
A Civil War veteran, and probably one of the top circuit competitions to Mark Twain. He was doing it before Mark Twain did, going around on a speaker circuit. Now it would be like the talk shows, but back then, you know, you'd have a circuit that you'd go on in different cities and different places, and crowds would gather, pay to listen to the guy and sell his books or stories or whatever on top of whatever fee that he got, just very much like authors do. Yes, well, no. Very much like what people do at your Comic-Con, things like that. So it was the Comic-Con of the late 1800s.
Yes. That's right. Western Con.
this is a classic story. By looking over some of the comments, which I always love to do on this on these shows of the Radio Mystery Theater, there are a couple of people that just were really enthralled by the adaption of the story here. Matter of fact, even one of them said they felt this was even better than the original story. So our cruise actually, because I think it was longer than the short story was, the original short story being a 45-minute tale here. Because when you do a radio play, it comes out pretty much close to 1 minute a page. So you're talking about 40 pages on this. I don't think the original story was quite that long.
No. And, hey, it's CBS Radio Mystery Theater, so you know their adaptation's got to be good.
Right. Now, when most people think of this story, they think of the Twilight Zone episode from the third season. And Rod Serling picked that for a couple of things. One, it was a winner of the Cannes Film Festival, and he wanted to share it with everybody. It was a French adaption of that with completely no words to it.
Yeah.
And that's what most people remember of this story. But the reason Rod did that, there were two reasons. One, he had to get back in budget, and doing that was a lot cheaper than producing another episode. And that, along with, he did four episodes, I think it was four, that he actually filmed onto videotape and then filmed the videotape instead of doing everything on film and editing it down that way.
Yeah.
Those two things brought season three back into budget. So,
you know, Dave, that episode, I knew something was off the first time I saw it, you know, in that it was not your typical Twilight Zone. Because when the guy was running around, you know, escaping or whatever, I just kept him expecting to see him chasing a red balloon. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
France. Yeah, it's a French thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I can't get that stupid movie out of my head, The Red Balloon. But I digress. I think it was second grade.
As you should.
In second grade, they dragged us in an auditorium, put toothpicks under our eyes so we wouldn't close them, and made us watch it. It's horrible. There were nuns at the exit, and if you tried to escape, you know, you got beaten with yardsticks. It was horrible. I'll be scarred for life. But I still like the story.
Yep. So, yeah, sometimes I know that my computer, they were talking about how the episode sometimes gets started without them. And most times mine does not start automatically either. You have to hit the good old play button.
Yep.
Coming in. And
now,
Don't worry, because if you missed a word, you can come back in the archive and listen to it
right.
again.
Yeah. We got some lengthy segments, so that means some good commercials from that period it was originally broadcast, which, by the way, was broadcast date.
I was going to say when we were youngins, because it was when we were youngins. This is from June 4th of 1974.
It's a beautiful day. I'm waxing my car, and my neighbor comes out with antifreeze. And I say, antifreeze now? And he starts to sing.
You can never buy fresh home too early. Do it now, don't you wait. You can never buy fresh home too early. You can only buy it too late.
Sounds crazy, but a 50-50 mix of Prestone 2 winter-summer formula and water, about 2 gallons for most cars, helps prevent boil-over even in traffic jams, because it helps your cooling system handle heat better than water. Fresh boil-over protection and fresh corrosion protection, too, because only Prestone 2 has a patented silicone-silicate inhibitor system. Nothing beats it for corrosion protection. Summer, winter, all year round, you can never buy Prestone too early. You can only buy it too late.
If you can't trust Prestone,
who can you trust?
From CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI, where the time is 6 minutes past 11.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Join me in a journey over a strange terrain, a terrain filled with terror and clouded by suspense. And ask yourself, how long is a minute? What is eternity? And learn, perhaps, that one can be as long as the other.
In that wagon?
Nothing at all, sir.
What do you mean, nothing?
Nothing but hay.
Is that so? Let's find out. You men, fix bayonets. Now, let's take a minute. Just one little minute and find out. Ventilate that hay. Thrust. That's it. Up and down, all the way across. That's it. Anybody get his blade a bit red? We'll just take a minute. Yeah. That's it. That's fine. All right, men. That's enough. Now, Mr. Farmer, go on your way.
Mr. Forrester, are you all right? Mr. Forrester.
Our mystery drama, An Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, was adapted from the story by Ambrose Bierce, especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars William Prince. It is sponsored in part by New Sugar-Free Diet 7-Up and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It's fun to have a Sony color TV in the place you call home. The 9 and 12-inch Trinitrons are easy to carry and fill any room with Sony's Super Color. The 15 and 17-inch models also feature the unique one-gun color system. And their eye-pleasing slim design reflects Sony's quality-first reputation. The new 19-inch set has been in such strong demand, the Northwest Sony dealers are just now getting enough inventory. So if you're still one of the 40% who don't own a color TV, or one of the growing numbers who wants a new color set, Sony is the name that reflects excellence.
Fred Egge Appliance and TV is your full-line Sony color television dealer. Visit their store at 4525 California Avenue Southwest in West Seattle. Get a beautiful demonstration from Fred Egge and his staff. Sony Color TV and Fred Egge Appliance and TV. A nice combination of quality products, friendly people.
They're going to hang Peyton Forrester. Hang him by the neck until he is dead. Hang him high from the top of the Owl Creek Bridge, 50 feet above the rushing torrent, which is now raging in full flood. Peyton Forrester stands on a single, fragile plank. The rope is already around his neck. 30 feet of slack neatly coiled beside his boots. But this is not a lynching, nor even an ordinary execution. This is a formal military ceremony. Peyton Forrester is a rebel, literally a Southern civilian, and he has been captured by the Union Army in the fall of this year of 1863 as he tried to sabotage the Owl Creek Railroad Bridge, and now he must pay the price. Actually, the only distress evident in the entire scene seems to be manifested by a young soldier who, with his corporal, is stationed some 10 feet from Peyton Forrester, where they serve solemnly as his guards.
Corporal?
Shh. Just stand steady, boy. Just you stand steady.
I'm going to be sick.
Oh, no, you ain't, Woody boy. No, you ain't. Now, this thing will be over in less than a minute. See?
Corporal.
See? Sergeant Smith's getting the board ready.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Just you take some deep breaths, son. You're going to be all right. Like I said, he's positioning the board that's supporting the plank that Johnny Reb is standing on.
I said I don't want to look.
Now, nobody says you got to look, Woody boy. Only it's a pity to miss a good hanging. How many you expect to see in your lifetime?
I don't want to see none.
This one here, this is a prime hanging. Son, much of the time you get to see cutthroats and riffraff and lowlifes. But here, you got a gentleman.
Corporal?
Yeah, boy?
The prisoner.
Hmm? What about the prisoner?
What do you suppose the prisoner is thinking about right now?
What indeed am I thinking about? I'm thinking that the water I see below me has been turned to gold by the early sun. Gold. Golden. The same golden tints I see in Millicent's hair. I'm thinking of Millicent. Millicent. Golden Millicent. And I hear the very last word she spoke to me. Seems ages, centuries ago. Is it true? Can it be true that it was only last night?
Peyton?
Yes, Millicent, darling.
My young Robbie Tompkins is here.
Robbie? I thought he was raiding Yankee supply lines.
Oh, he was. He's back.
He's safe now. Bless him.
Well, he needs a horse.
He can have anything he wants. Bring him in here. Why? Why do you keep him waiting?
Now, you and I must talk first, Peyton.
You mean one of the true heroes of our country must be kept cooling his heels while you and I...
Oh, he's not exactly cooling his heels, Peyton. He's busy having his first decent meal in weeks.
But I want to see him this minute. After all, he hasn't much time to spend here. Must be in a rush to get home, see his folks.
He's not headed home.
He's not?
No, he's off on a mission.
What do you mean?
Well, it has something to do with blowing up a bridge someplace.
Well, then he needs help.
Oh, Peyton, I was afraid.
I've been sitting here doing nothing for almost 3 years.
Now, that's not true. You've been raising food and you've been growing cotton.
Well, better men have been getting killed.
Now, what you're doing is more important.
And safer and easier.
But it's not your fault the doctors say you're unfit to serve.
But I'm fit enough to help Robbie Tompkins blow up a bridge.
Oh, Peyton, darling.
No, honey. You know I can't shirk if there's a job to be done.
You've got your job.
No, honey. It's not enough.
Don't go.
What are we arguing about? He hasn't even asked me.
He'll ask you, Peyton. He'll ask you.
Well, then, I've got no choice.
Please. Please listen to me. You've always been a man of honor. Now, be a man of common sense.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Peyton, the war is over.
What are you saying?
We have been bled white at Gettysburg.
The war has just begun.
Peyton, for 6 months, maybe a year, there'll be more slaughter, but it'll be for nothing. The war is over.
Don't say that.
But it's the truth.
Millicent, don't you believe anymore?
I believe we need a miracle.
Then we'll have a miracle. We'll work harder. We'll fight harder. We'll pray harder. You'll see. You'll have that miracle.
You, Mr. Peyton Forrester!
Robbie, Robbie, you young scoundrel! You come in here this minute!
Oh, Peyton, you are sight for sore.
Yes, tell me how you outsmarted the Yankees. You tell me everything.
Later, right now, I need all the darkness I can get.
Hey, well, what's this about a bridge?
The railroad bridge at Owl Creek.
Are the Yankees at Owl Creek already?
That bridge must be destroyed, Peyton.
One little barrel of gunpowder? Under the truss? On this side of the river?
I figured you'd know the exact spot.
And I've got the gunpowder, too. Fuses, all we need.
Peyton! Peyton! Jeff Stewart's cavalry is here.
Darling, by the time we explain it to General Stewart, we could turn the whole entire bridge into burnt matchsticks. Now, Robbie.
Yes, sir.
Now, you go around the back. Get yourself a horse. You can leave in 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Peyton.
Honey, you know I have no choice.
I hear the Yankee general has issued an order. Any civilian caught interfering with the railroad, the bridges, the tunnels, the trains, will be hanged.
I know, Millicent. We do the same.
But I beg you not.
Darling, you know what I must do.
But you have children.
Am I the only father in the South?
Peyton, I won't let you
Millicent,
go.
Please, help me.
What can I do to...
Pray for me. Pray for the miracle.
Robbie, up yonder, the bridge.
We must be right in the middle of the Yankee camp, Peyton. Keep low to the ground. They won't see us.
So I said to Mama, I promise I ain't going to take up with any bad women.
I hope, Woody, you kept your promise.
Well, I ain't had a chance to test it one way or the other so far, Corporal.
To tell the truth, Woody, actually there ain't no such thing as a bad woman.
That should be a corporal. Maybe 5-6 men. Let's move to the right. Now.
Hey, Corporal. You hear something out there?
Son, you start seeing Johnny Rebs behind every tree and we won't get a wink of sleep.
Yeah, but I'm sure I heard...
Spence is supposed to be pulling guard duty out there.
Hold it, Robbie. There's a sentry between us and the bridge. Now I see him. Headed this way.
We
have to get rid of him. I'll do it. He doesn't know we're here. If he walks past, I'll jump him.
He's dead, Peyton.
All right, let's go set the kindling place. Light the fuse. We'll dive into the water. Swim for it.
Say, it's time to relieve Spencer. Hey, Spence! Come on in. Woody will stand guard.
Hurry, Robbie.
Spencer!
Corporal, I hear somebody out there.
Huh? Everybody, grab your weapon. On the double.
Right.
Give me the fuse, Robbie.
There they are!
Hold!
I'm here.
Robbie, let me.
No, run for it, Peyton.
Hold your fire.
Run for it.
We can take him alive.
What's he thinking about, Corporal? Waiting there for the rope to snap. What must he be thinking about?
What would any man be thinking about, Woody? The wife? The kids?
I wish we hadn't caught him last night.
It was our duty.
It would have been so much better if we'd have shot him like his pal.
You hear that, Woody?
What? I hear nothing.
Nothing. That's exactly it. Nothing. Sergeant Smith has just finished positioning his board. He has got it in a state now where one more blow releases the plank Peyton Forrester is standing on. And then, down he goes, till the rope snaps.
I don't want to hear it.
Look, the captain knows Sergeant Smith is ready. When he raises, then lowers his sword, Sergeant Smith is going to give that board one whack, and that's it.
And Forrester knows it. He can see it. What must that man be thinking about?
I'm no longer thinking, son. I'm praying. Praying for a miracle. I'm praying the rope is going to snap and break. I'll get my hands free. I'll fall into the river. You carry me swiftly away from here to safety. That's what I'm doing, son. I'm praying. Praying for the miracle. Just as Millicent is praying, as you're praying too, I can tell by your voice, son. You don't want me to die this way. We're all of us praying
has to be a miracle. Has to be.
Oh, dear Lord. The captain, he's raising his saber.
Woody, you don't have to look.
He's bringing it down.
Goodbye, Johnny Reb.
Corporal, look. The rope. It snapped. It broke. It's a miracle. Come on. Hands free. Roger, I'll get him free. Come up for air. I'm getting it. Cord's loose. Free. Air.
There he is. Moving downstream.
Captain, there he is.
Shoot.
Fire. Fire all Yanks. Fire all the Yanks. Fire everything you got. You won't hit me. You can't hit me. It's a miracle. You can't see a miracle.
A miracle. Perhaps if you want something strongly enough and pray hard enough, the rope can break, the rifles can miss, and you will not drown in the raging torrent. Miracles do happen. Have we had one here? We may find out when I return shortly with Act Two. Jerry Coffer for Kellogg's Special K. You know, for years we've been talking about the Special K breakfast, a great way to start the day if you have a weight problem. You may have seen or heard our latest commercials, which symbolize the problem of being a few pounds overweight by using this ball and chain. That's the sound effect. But so many people have come to know the Special K breakfast that can help solve weight problems, they sometimes forget that Special K is America's favorite high-protein cereal. It has 8 essential vitamins and iron, and so delicious that lots of folks, kids as well as adults, eat Special K just for the sheer good taste of it. So we don't want you to think that you have to wear a ball and chain to eat Special K. All you need is an appreciation for the finer things of life, a 1-ounce bowl of Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, coffee, and maybe a little sugar. The Special K breakfast can't help you lose weight all by itself, but it really is a good start.
Yeah, just to be perfectly clear, Special K is not my other stage name. Everyone always wonders about that. But this is a really good telling of this story, Dave.
Yes, it is. And this was my first treatment to it. Actually, even before I saw the Twilight Zone version, I had heard this, I think. Because the Twilight Zone version doesn't get seen a whole lot in syndication, because stations can kind of pick and choose which ones they feature, which ones they don't. And you know, it would be odd, you know, like the one with George Takei does not get shown that often.
That's a good one, too, with a more, you know, it's a morality play.
Yes. And all of them are, you know, and I just don't understand, you know, everybody has their favorites, I understand, but even the least of the Twilight Zones are really good stories, and not all are morality plays, some of them have a lighter touch, just like some mystery theaters do, but this one is definitely a wonderful telling of a classic tale from the Civil War.
Yeah, a great background for this type of a story, I think, a great backdrop, and expertly performed by the folks from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Wow, 74, Dave, we were 14.
You were either just turning
or whatever. I was already 14. I'm old.
Yeah. What did they say was, seven after 11? I think in Akron, again, what it is they would CBS network would feed it down 2 times during the day, and your station would have to catch it one of those 2 times. And if you agreed to take the show, you had to agree to air it. So that means you had to air it. So one thing that happened is when the Cleveland Indians games were on the same station, and it was a West Coast game, it didn't come on till like 3 in the morning sometimes. I didn't catch those ones. But just thoughts of listening to it, you know, for me, my bedtime was supposed to be 9 o'clock. And this didn't come on until about 5 after 10. And so we had stayed up with my brother, and I would stay up and be in bed with the tape recorder. And we would record them. So in case we fell asleep, hopefully we would be able to hear it. Now, again, if you didn't cut most of the commercials out, you would never hear the end of it. So you had to be careful of how you made it, you know.
Yeah. Especially with the length of the tapes back then. Some of them weren't that long.
Well, yeah. But a 90-minute tape, and you leave one commercial in each segment, in between each segment, that would fit into 45 minutes of one of the tapes. And so that's what my brother and I generally did. We had a real nice collection of them. Had a friend who recorded them on 8-tracks, and he had a lot more of them. He had a newspaper route. He could afford to buy the 8-tracks. But,
rich kid, huh?
Rich kid. But, so that was kind of my memories of staying up and listening to the Radio Mystery Theater.
Yep. And this story, if you're not familiar with it, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised how everything unfolds.
Well, you'll be surprised anyway.
Yes.
Now, maybe not pleasantly, but you will be surprised.
Good. And let's continue. Why not? With part two of
Occurrence
Owl Creek Bridge from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm going to rent this apartment. But now the landlord wants a deposit equal to 2 months' rent to cover damage. I wonder if there's anything I should do to protect myself.
There certainly is, Mac.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. You know, deposits are usual, but before you move into that apartment, go through it thoroughly and list any and all damage. Now prepare this list in duplicate and have your landlord sign both copies. And before you sign that lease, find out what sort of repairs you will be responsible for and which will be paid by the landlord.
Then when you move, this list helps to solve the mystery of who's to pay for what, right?
Right.
Late in the year 1863, Peyton Forrester, a Southern civilian, has attempted to sabotage the railroad bridge high across Owl Creek. He's been caught by the Union Army and hanged from the bridge. No, not quite. As his living body hurtled downward, the rope that was supposed to snap and break his neck instead broke. Peyton has fallen unharmed into the stream. A squad of soldiers is in rapid but futile pursuit.
The miracle! Miracle! You can't shoot a miracle!
Spread the alarm! He's escaped!
I've got to get to General Stuart. I've got to. If we destroy the bridge, the whole Yankee army on this side will be cut off. No supplies. No ammunition. I've got to get to Jeb Stuart.
Get away from here. Now get away, you tramp.
Please, ma'am.
I warn you. I got a rifle aimed at your head.
I mean you no harm. I need your help. I'm Peyton Forrester.
Peyton Forrester? No, just a second. I still got this gun aimed at your head. Good Lord, it Here's Mr. Forrester. Come in. Come in, sir. I'm Sally Watson.
The gangs are after me. Just a bite of bread and a glass of water. I have to keep moving.
Peyton Forrester, the man the Yankees couldn't kill.
I have to hurry.
You have to rest.
No, there's not time.
But you're going to drop. Sit down, sir. Sit for a minute.
All right, just for a minute.
Now, I've got a piece of meat here, and I'll eat it with some beans.
No, I don't have time.
You just rest.
There's a storm coming up. You can hear the wind.
I don't hear nothing.
Can't you hear the whistle of the wind?
But the whole Yankee army's out looking for you, Mr. Forrester.
Where's General Jeb Stuart?
I reckon he's a good 10 miles southwest.
I've got to get to Stuart.
Now, first, you have something to eat.
How far the Yankees come since last night?
Well, I hear they're past Tuckersburg.
Well, then, that means they've already reached my place. I can't just sit here.
Now, just have something to eat. You'll have to do enough traveling.
Look, down the road.
A Yankee patrol.
And it's headed this way.
Oh.
Better not be found here.
You have to hide.
Where?
In the cellar.
No, it's the first place I'd look.
It's your only chance.
But if they find me here, you'll be shot for sheltering a fugitive.
They won't shoot a woman.
At least they'll do is burn your house down.
Well, you just let them.
But my only chance is to run for it.
Get out the back way. I'll hold them off for you. Hurry. Hurry before they see you.
Goodbye, Miss Watson.
Goodbye, Mr. Forrester.
Let's search that house, man.
Corporal.
Now, you men out there, that's fine enough. You stuck where you are. This is private property.
We mean you no harm, lady. We're looking for a fugitive.
Well, I ain't seen none.
We're obliged to search your house, ma'am.
You just stand where you are. I know how to use this rifle.
That's another thing, ma'am. Civilians ain't supposed to have weapons. You'll have to hand that over.
You want this rifle? You just come and get it.
Now, ma'am, be reasonable. Nobody has to get hurt.
Hey, Corporal, way yonder in the field, is that someone running?
Let's go, men.
Stay still.
Let's go.
What?
I said stand still. I'll shoot the first man that moves.
Now, ma'am, you can't interfere with the United States Army.
Well, maybe I can, but I'm doing it.
Ma'am, I never shot a woman.
That makes us even. I never shot a man. Looks like it's going to be a first time for both of us.
Men, after him. Move out.
No. I'll shoot.
Look out, Corporal.
I'm sorry, man. I'm awful sorry.
Mr. Forrester. Run for it. They'll never get you, sir. Nobody can ever catch you.
Rayburn. John Rayburn. Rayburn.
It's Mr. Forrester.
Rayburn, the Yankees are after me.
Oh, you don't have to worry about the Yankees, Mr. Forrester. They can't kill you. Nobody, nothing can kill you.
Let me hide in your wagon, underneath your load of hay. The Yankees are still down along this lane, but they're headed this way. Soon, the storm will drive them back to camp.
Yeah. What storm?
Well, can't you hear the storm? The wind.
No, sure.
But they'll have to come this way. They mustn't see me, Rayburn.
Well, get underneath the hay, Mr. Forrester. Get underneath quicker than lightning. Hey, you all set, Mr. Forrester? Let's get...
Come on, you broke down, bad. You're like a pole catch. Get up!
Just no sign of him, Corporal.
All right. Rest of you men, let's head back.
I guess he got away, huh, Corporal?
Well, not for long. He's still a good ways from the rebel lines. We got men sweeping every square inch of the ground. Yeah. What's that?
Well, since you come from the city, Corporal, that's a hay wagon.
Yeah. We'll see about that. Hey, you.
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
What you got on that wagon?
Guess I got me a load of hay.
What else?
Well, nothing else.
Nothing else, huh? You sure? You're sure there's nothing living in that load?
Well, there might be one or two field mice. Sometimes they get pitched in with the hay.
Field mice, eh?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
Well, let's see. Let's see about everything. You men, fix bayonets. Now, let us ventilate that hay a little bit. Just. That's it. Up and down. All the way across. Come on now, put a little muscle in there. That's not how I taught you to use a bayonet. Rush! Rush! That's it. Everybody's doing just fine. Anybody got himself a little red on his blade? No? Well, maybe there's just hay in there after all. All right, man, all right, that's enough. See? Bayonet's good for something else beside roast and potatoes. What's your name, Rebel?
Zeke Rayburn.
Mr. Rayburn, go your way, go in peace. You're a fortunate man. Indeed you are.
Get up! Get up! Get up! Mr. Forrester. Mr. Forrester, you all right? Mr. Forrester, it's all right to come out now.
Yes, I'm all right. Had a bayonet thrust through my coat, but that was all.
Oh, the Lord be praised, Mr. Forrester, the Lord be praised.
You better get your load in before the storm hits, Rayburn.
What storm, Mr. Forrester?
Well, don't you hear it?
Hear what?
The wind. Can't you hear it whistle past your ears?
No, sir.
It must be my imagination.
We're lucky there was infantry soldiers.
What do you mean?
There was cavalry. Well, they might have decided to take the hay for their own horses, and it would have been all over for you.
Yes. How far is it to our lines?
It's no more than a mile and a half, but here's where we start running into patrols. You'd be better off on foot. At least you'd have trees and bushes for cover.
You're right. Thank you, Reverend. I'm grateful.
That's all of us who want to be grateful to you, Mr. Forrester. Everybody's talking about it. It's like a miracle.
Yes, Rayburn. It is.
Now, you keep to the line of trees on your left. You follow them into a little ravine, and on the other side is Jeb Stuart's cavalry.
Goodbye, Rayburn.
Goodbye, Mr. Forrester.
Forrester, don't be scared.
Who are you?
Lieutenant Burns, with Stuart's cavalry.
What?
Shh. There's a Yankee troop up ahead. You scared one of the sentries. Lie still just for a minute.
What are you doing here?
Well, some of us come out to look for you. Figure you'd be headed this way.
Well, then, I'm saved. Saved?
Well, we gotta get home first, but that's nothing. I got a squad in back of me. When I give the signal, they'll open fire. And while everybody's shooting, you and I'll sneak away. Are you ready?
Ready.
Now! Let's go, Forrest. Let's go!
Peyton Forrester.
General Stuart.
Mr. Forrester, let me shake your hand. Word of your exploit has spread through the entire South.
Sir, I can only say I prayed for a miracle.
And we needed it. It's been a dark year for us. But now men, women throughout the country are taking heart once more.
Thank you, sir.
You had to make your way through an entire Union army to get here.
I had help, sir. Loyal Southerners fed me, sheltered me, and even fought for me.
We're going to win this war, Forrester. I've never been as convinced of it as I am now. I see new spirit in all my men. And it's all due to you.
I only did my duty, sir. And, well, no. No, I can't say I did my duty. I failed.
You failed?
Yes, sir. I didn't accomplish my mission. Robbie Tompkins and I set out to destroy the Owl Creek Bridge. Robbie's dead, and the bridge still stands. The explosion was not strong enough. The bridge must be destroyed.
But I don't have the men.
But you don't need men. Oh, it's strange.
What's strange?
The wind feels like a storm, and yet the trees are still.
Why do you say I don't need men to take Owl Creek Bridge?
The wind. Why is the wind howling like that?
Why don't I need men, Forrester?
Because I'm not talking about an assault. Just give me one volunteer, and we'll accomplish what Robbie and I set out to do last time.
You'll never get near the bridge.
General, the Federals have at least 3 divisions this side of Owl Creek. If we destroy the bridge, we cut their only supply line. We have them in a trap.
You think you can do it?
It's part of the miracle. The bridge, it was meant to be destroyed. That's why I was saved. So I could try it again. And this time, succeed.
One miracle evidently is not enough. What Peyton Forrester is asking for is another. And why not? If it's a question of knowing how to ask, certainly Peyton Forrester has discovered the secret. However, it's also possible to run out of miracles. We will be enlightened when I return shortly with Act 3.
I'd like to clear up a little misconception. And to do it, I'm going to take you through a Buick dealership. See, a lot of people are considering the purchase of a small car, but they might not consider coming to a Buick dealer to get it. That's a mistake, because right here are all kinds of small cars, imported and domestic, with 4, 6, and 8-cylinder engines, with 2, 3, or 4 doors. Here's our biggest small car, the midsize Century. It's pretty luxurious in there, but the size makes it practical, too. This one's our next smallest, Buick Apollo. Under this hood, there's a 6. Pretty handy these days. Yet because Apollo is a Buick, it has qualities you don't often find in cars this size. And this little rascal is Opel, 4 cylinders, and the best-selling car in Germany. You'll know why when you drive it. Well, there you have it. An impressive small car variety under one roof. At your Buick Opel dealer.
Get yours now. I love me Buicks. They're good cars.
I had one. I had a Buick Regal. That thing was a boat.
Oh, yes, they are. They're land yachts. That's why I love them.
Must have gotten that whole 12 miles to the gallon on a good day.
Yep.
Them were the days.
And we're getting some good mileage out of this story. He's pushing his envelope. He got one miracle. Now he's trying after another.
But miracles, you only get so many chances. But we'll see what happens. Interesting. CBS Mystery Theater did such a good job with the Civil War stories. Arnold Moss was in many of them. A Matter of Conscience comes to mind. Another Ambrose Bierce story, One of the Missing. Another really, really interesting stories. And, for some reason, he does have surprise endings. He did in that, and as he does in this one as it comes along. Not a lot of people really did the surprise ending type thing. I mean, back then you had, that was even, towards the beginning, of O. Henry's writings. This was more of a late 1800s, early 1900s, before the alcohol got to him. Not many people really had that surprise at the end. And he was able to do that.
And do it well, as you're about to find out when we continue our story in a little bit here. Plenty of time left, so who knows? Maybe bonus features. So stick around, yet we're here another 40 minutes, like it or not. hopefully you like it.
Hopefully you do. Yes. Always, I think they get a kick out of hopefully some of the features we have with the wheel of radio and that busy old jukebox here.
We got tons of goodies for you. And some announcements also coming up about Easter weekend. That's right. No Santa Claus. We'll explain later as we wrap up. Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge from CBS Radio Street Theater.
The Northwest and its outdoor-oriented residents share more of Mother Nature than a lot of people in the USA. Somehow we get acclimatized by our willingness to sail, fish, camp, and hunt in the natural environment. Sony has developed television portables in color and black and white that make leisure and recreational experiences more enjoyable. Sony has combined solid-state electronics to create the finest portable TV sets available. Sony portable features include AC/DC circuitry, optional battery pack, and plug-in cords to boats, campers, and auto power systems. The glare-free screen is really great, too, when the sun finally comes out.
Fred Iggy Appliance and TV at 4525 California Avenue Southwest in West Seattle is your full-line Sony television dealer. Fred Iggy and his sales staff are real outdoor enthusiasts. They know what Sony portable TV sets can do for folks who work and play in the Northwest environment. It's a nice way to enjoy the great outdoors and the many moods of Mother Nature.
The first time Peyton Forrester tried to destroy the Owl Creek Bridge, the Union Army caught him and tried to hang him. But Peyton prayed for a miracle, and somehow the rope broke at just the right moment, and he fell into the river unharmed. He has made his way to General Jeb Stuart, who has given him the gunpowder to try it again.
I'm your volunteer, Mr. Forrester. Lieutenant Burns, you realize this mission must be performed in civilian clothes.
Oh, I'm aware of that,
sir. And you know the penalty if we're caught?
Same penalty we exact from the Union spies that are caught, Mr. Forrester.
We'll need the powder and the fuses, and I'll need some hair to make a false beard and mustache.
What's that, sir?
I should have a white shirt, and so should you, incidentally.
Well, why, sir?
Burns, do you know anything about medicine?
No, sir.
Yes, you do, Burns. You're a doctor.
Me?
We're both medical men. You see, my face is well known. I'll need disguise. I need a way to march up to that bridge as bold as brass.
But how, sir?
I told you. We'll be a pair of medical doctors.
But who's going to believe us?
Everybody. Why shouldn't they? We'll even have the proper papers.
Millicent.
Oh, Peyton. Oh, it's you.
If the disguise can fool my own wife.
Oh, darling, you prayed so hard.
We prayed for the miracle, Millicent.
Now, I want to see you more than anything in all the world. But why are you back this way, down when the whole Union Army is after you? You should be hiding.
I haven't completed my mission.
Peyton, the Yankees mustn't find you here.
Millicent,
Honey, what is it, Peyton?
My neck. Something seems to be rubbing against my neck. It's something stiff, something sharp.
Oh, you're not well. You're not well, darling. It was such a horrible experience. You're ill.
No. I'm all right. I need strength. I came home. I saw you. I'm all right. I'm all right now.
Peyton, you're not listening to me. Peyton, what is it?
Listen to the wind, Millicent. The wind, how it whistles and screams.
Peyton, I'm frightened.
And now I must go.
Hide, Peyton. I'll hide with you.
Owl Creek Bridge still stands.
Everyone knows you've done enough.
I must go back to the bridge.
I won't let you. I won't let you go.
Please, listen to me, Millicent.
No more. Let's end this senseless killing. What's the good of it?
Millicent, we're fighting for our homes.
We've lost, Peyton. We've lost.
I prayed, Millicent. I stood on that bridge and that narrow plank with a thick, rough rope around my neck. I can still feel it scratch and burn my skin, and I prayed. I prayed, let there be a miracle. Save me this time. Save me so I can come back and do it right. Destroy the bridge.
The war is lost, Peyton.
Destroy the bridge and we can capture an entire Union army. Tell me the supplies, food, ammunition. Destroy the bridge and we can win the war.
That little place we have deep in the woods, no one ever goes there. You can hide there and be safe there.
I was saved from the noose so I could go back and destroy the bridge.
Why did you come back to torture me?
I had to come see you. I had to see you.
Peyton, if you love
me... It's because I love you and the children and this house and our land and the country. It's all tied together. Darling, I never knew how truly golden the highlights are in your hair. Till I saw the water in the morning sunlight.
Stay, Peyton. Stay here.
Don't ask me. Don't ask me again. Or I may weaken. Please, don't ask me again. Millicent, I must get to the bridge before the storm.
Storm? What storm?
The wind. Don't you hear the wind? How it howls, how it shrieks. I must go now.
Mr. Forrester, what is it? Shouldn't we stop for a rest, sir? There's no time. But the horses, they could use a breather. We have to get there before the storm.
Sir, there's no sign of a storm.
Oh, I can feel it. I can feel it coming. The wind's getting stronger.
The wind, sir?
It's a gale.
But I... Uh-oh, look.
Where?
Up ahead. That's a Yankee picket.
All right.
Well, sir, let's turn off the road before they see us.
But Lieutenant Burns, we want them to see us. Now, be calm. Act calm.
Yes, sir.
Remember? You're a doctor.
Yes, sir. I'll try to remember.
Be casual. Be natural.
But suppose...
Suppose what?
Well, suppose they decide to search our bags.
Oh, no. They won't do that. These are our medical supplies and equipment, remember?
Yes, sir. I hope so.
Now, Burns, just try to look dignified.
Yes, sir.
But look wise. Just like a doctor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm trying.
Strange.
What, sir?
The wind. The gale. What happened to it?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
The wind. It sounded like a hurricane. And you can't be deaf, can you?
Well, no, sir, but I didn't hear anything.
And now, for some reason, suddenly died away. Gone.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So still.
Oh, yes, it is, sir. It certainly is. It's, except I'm so nervous, sir.
Oh, there's nothing to be afraid of, Burns. Nothing except something scratching my neck. It biting at my throat.
Well, it's too cold for mosquitoes, sir.
Something starting to press. It press on my throat.
Sir, are you all right?
I wonder what happened to that wind.
Oh. Well, and who might you two gentlemen be?
Corporal, I'm Dr. Jones. My friend here is Dr. Burns.
Your friend got a voice?
Why, of course, Corporal.
And why don't he answer for himself?
Oh, he's my assistant.
Is that true? Are you Dr. Burns?
Oh, yes, Corporal.
Well, let's see what we got here. We got one gentleman who claims to be Dr. Jones, another who says he's Dr. Burns.
Corporal, if you don't mind, we happen to be on an errand of mercy.
Is that so? Well, tell me about it.
Now, we have permission from your General Grant to...
Something wrong, Doctor?
No, Corporal, I just seem to have something in my throat.
You were saying you had permission from the general to do what?
Which is to visit some of our wounded prisoners.
You do, huh?
Yes, Corporal. And here's the safe conduct. Mine and Dr. Burns.
Woody.
Yes, Corporal.
Bring the lantern. Hold this up.
All right.
See what it says, Woody. You're better at reading than I am.
All right. The bearer of this safe conduct is to be permitted free passage within the lines controlled by Union forces in order to perform medical errands of mercy. Signed, U.S. Grant, Lieutenant General.
That's what it says, Woody?
That's what it says, Corporal.
Mm. Hand them back your papers. Woody.
What is it, Corporal?
What are you looking at, Woody?
Me?
What are you staring at the doctor for?
I'm not... That is...
Do you know him from someplace?
No. I mean, where would I know him from?
Well, doctors, be on your way.
Thank you, Corporal. Magnificent. I can only say, sir, that you were magnificent.
We have to get to the bridge quickly.
I could never have handled it that way, sir.
Hurry.
The bridge is just up ahead, sir.
I'm beginning to feel... Sir. Ill,
sir.
My neck.
Your neck, sir?
It's beginning to hurt. I can feel it. It's beginning... Swell.
Here's the bridge, sir. Easy, boy. A little slower. Now, where do you want to plant the charge?
Charge?
Where do you want to plant the powder?
We have to plant the powder. We have to plant the... Here. Right now.
Yes, sir.
Stop. Stop the horses.
Yes, but, sir, you're very ill.
No. We can do this. Something's choking me.
No. I dismount.
Yes, sir.
And look, we intend to walk our horses across the bridge.
Yes, sir.
Now,
oh, my throat.
Place your sack against this support.
Yes, sir.
Now, quickly,
the fuses in this bag.
I've got them, sir.
Why? Why is it so dark?
What do you want me to do, sir?
Lay the fuse out along...
I know, sir. I know.
Hurry. Something's choking the life out of me.
I've got him, sir. I've got him.
Strike a match. I can't breathe.
We're going to do it, Mr. Forrester. We're going to bring it off.
My head.
Nothing can stop us now.
Burns. Something's choking.
This one's ready. And now that one.
Choking. The life out of me. Whole sky is on fire. Everything. It's all aflame.
Lit, sir. She's lit.
This pain.
She's going to go, sir. She's going to go. Now jump in the water. Jump for your life.
My head. I can't stand the pain. My head is going to explode.
There she goes.
Is it over?
It's over, Woody. It's all over.
I saw him drop. I closed my eyes. I couldn't bear to see the rest.
Well, it's all right, Woody.
Corporal, that drop through the air, that drop of 30 feet before the rope snapped tight... What do you suppose he must have been thinking?
It only took a couple of seconds. I don't suppose he had time to think about nothing.
Peyton Forrester was dead. His body, the neck broken, was swinging gently from side to side, suspended from a timber of the Owl Creek Bridge. Swinging gently, swaying gently, turning and twisting gently in the fresh, cool morning breeze above the gold-tinted water of the river below. I'll be back shortly.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12-ounce glass with cold water. Then, open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Give your hand to a friend, give your heart to your love, but give your allergy to contact.
Now listen carefully, because this message may surprise you. There is an ingredient that can effectively help block pollen's bad effect on your system. Sneezing, sniffling, drips, itchy red watery eyes. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists, and it's an ingredient in Contac. Surprising, yes, but the true wonder of Contac is how our tiny time pills keep this antihistamine working, helping up to 12 hours per capsule, all day, all night. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
But give your allergy to Contac. Take Contac only when needed, only as directed.
Happened more than 100 years ago, and everyone whose life was touched by that bridge, everyone, rebel and Yank alike, prayed for the greatest of all miracles. They prayed that one way or another, this would be the last cruel act in the last cruel war Americans would ever know. Proof that prayer is still urgently needed. Our cast included William Prince, Mildred Clinton, Jack Grimes, Leon Janney, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contac, the 12-hour allergy capsule, Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Dave, an excellent choice. Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge.
Yes, and
same time, same station.
Don't wait, there's a little
this
more.
This is your friendly music station, KIXI. Dial 91 AM or 96 FM, Seattle.
The time, 12 midnight.
California or Cup.
All righty. KIXI, Kixie.
Kixie. Now, we had a little bit of conversation going on about O. Henry and radio adaptions. He had quite a few. Author's Playhouse, the Little Cornet Show, a Lux Radio Theater, which was an adaptation of a movie on Jimmy Valentine. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, looks like eight mystery theaters. We've shared one of them so far, Tobin's Palm, but we did that for an Irish thing. Interesting stories there. Also, I'm trying to think, it was what? One on Cavalcade of America and some other places as well. And, of course, the whole Cisco Kid character was based from an O. Henry story. The kid was depicted as a heroic Mexican caballero, later in films, radio, and television. So it was the Caballero's Way was that particular show story from O. Henry. And so he ended up a whole series. I remember a movie, which was a collection of stories, and it had a lot of radio stars. Oscar Levant, who was a band director in old radio, and Fred Allen did a part, one of the segments. I think it was called O. Henry's Full House. And so, yeah, a lot of wonderful O. Henry out there. We should do. We should find a William Sidney Porter's birthday and celebrate O. Henry. It's terrible life the guy had. Never found peace. Eventually drunk himself to death. And yet, what an artist he was with the pen.
Yeah, well, it seems that a few of our American writers were cursed with the lust for the bottle. You've got Edgar Allan Poe, who probably didn't limit his activities to just alcohol, but
predominantly. Yes. Yeah, it's just there's a lot of pressure, I guess, when you get to do that kind of a thing and do it as well as they do, that you've always got to beat out the next thing. It's like Orson Welles always was chasing his first movie, never quite creating the masterpiece of Citizen Kane ever again. And although he did some wonderful movies and did some great directing, never captured that same magic moment. And I guess you could say the same thing happened for Mark Twain's publishing company. His first publishing thing he published was a resounding success that led to, outside of his own writings, he couldn't match what his first one was. I'm thinking that he may have gone bankrupt with his first publishings were the memoirs of Ulysses S. Grant and his war strategies. And chasing after yourself like that would have to be a difficult thing.
I don't know. I'm getting practice. People tell me to go chase myself all the time.
Yeah. Don't you get tired?
Well, chase is one of the things they tell me to do to myself. Yes, especially at my age.
Yeah.
Just one of them is chasing. But no, anywho. Easter season is upon us. And the Easter Bunny will be hopping down the Erie House Trail next weekend.
I'm still looking for those Easter eggs you hid last year. I don't know what you did with them.
Oh,
you told me
follow your nose.
A certain address, and I
never
went
picked
there,
them up.
And I just...
Follow your nose.
We did that
find
once.
Them.
We did that once. We did that once. So, growing up, we always used to go to my grandfather's for Easter, and the adults went out and hid the Easter eggs and always counted them. Well, we missed one year because we found one the next year when we realized it was from the year before. We took it out in his back lot. There was a commercial building. We went out in the parking lot, dropped it, and boy, oh boy, did you smell that one for about three blocks.
Woo! Too funny. And yet not.
That's not what's happening next week, is it?
We hope they're not rotten eggs. We've got some comedy, in fact. Phil Harris and Alice Faye, Armis and Life of Riley. That's just Friday, okay? We'll be dressing it up a little bit for Easter on Saturday with Burns and Allen and Lucille Ball starring in My Favorite Husband.
Yep. All kinds of fun, the comedy fun next weekend. We seem to do that a lot for holidays. We seem to get a lot of... where we can, there's some fun shows in.
Yeah, you, we try to steer away from a little bit from the dark stuff. We'll always, always return to the dark stuff. I mean, we are, in fact, Eerie House, but it's nice to get away, do a Western once in a while, do some comedies and other genres. But we're always back to the eerie stuff eventually.
Eventually.
Plus the fact that we're here, and when Gar's here, too, it's eerie enough.
That's scary enough. It certainly is. It certainly is. And just for those that haven't noticed it yet, unfortunately, Gar will not be doing his show. He was actually feeling better. He woke up at 4 this morning, and he was feeling great. I talked to him at about 11, and he was doing great. He had me find something for him. And then he had a relapse shortly after that. It was my fault. I told him to lay down and take a nap.
Yep.
But, smacked him, so there will be no horrible horror tonight, unfortunately. So.
Nope. No, but perhaps he'll throw a repeat up there. You never know. Check out his channel just to make sure after we're done here in about, 14 minutes, 10 seconds, which means we got plenty of time for Wheel. I'm going to step up here, Dave, and give it a quick spin.
Absolutely.
Try to squeeze in some fun stuff. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, there we go. Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
And now the Dean of Modern American Music, the maestro himself, Paul Whiteman.
Hey, Hope, how come you let Jimmy give me the old build-up? You're emceeing in this show.
Well, you see, Paul, it seems like everybody who's ever introduced has worked with you before, and I haven't, I didn't know exactly what you'd done.
You don't know what I've done?
Well, as a point of information, what have you done?
Whatever. Well, for one thing, I introduced the Rhapsody in Blue.
Some little piece nobody ever heard of, huh?
Some little. Say, did you ever hear of the Battle Hymn of the Republic?
Yeah, but don't tell me you introduced that. What else have you done, Paul?
Well, a lot of famous people are Whiteman alumni.
Whiteman alumni? You make yourself sound like a college.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you're built more like a university. Say, who are some of these famous people who have played with you, Paul?
Well, when I tell you, you'll apologize for your ignorance. There are the Darcy brothers.
You're right, I apologize.
And Johnny Mercer.
I do apologize.
And I was responsible for Crosby.
Now you're apologizing. Well, let's stop the kidding, Paul. Everyone, including yours truly, knows that you're to music what Philco is to radio. What's on the music menu now?
Our Now and Then, Bob. That's when we play an old tune the way it was dished out when it was published a way back. There's plenty of smalts and the old slide whistle and Mike Tengator winding up on the banjo. Then we switch to an up-to-the-minute 1945 edition of the same tune, and our Now and Then for day is Linger a While.
You've got it, boys. Take it. But that was jazz. That went out with Crosby's clothes. And now the modern version of Linger a While.
Okay, Paul.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Now, in November, come the longer evenings when folks drop in to play bridge or stop for a snack after the movies. So get the refrigerator stocked with Kraft's famous cheese food, Velveeta, to spread or slice for swell toasted sandwiches. Velveeta's a natural for late evening snacks, you know, because it's digestible as milk itself. These days, you really ought to be buying rich golden Velveeta in the 2-pound size, so you'll have plenty for snacks and also to melt for economical meatless main dishes. Remember, smooth-melting Velveeta helps supply the protein you expect from a main dish, but the price is low. Tomorrow, get Kraft's famous Velveeta.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you by...
Thank you. Not just radio, Eerie House Radio. We got a caller. Caller, identify yourself, please.
Identifying. This is CW. How are you doing?
Hey,
we're doing fine.
CW, thanks for joining us.
Were you listening on your iPad tonight?
Got to listen. Yeah, now this is on a Wi-Fi apparatus. It's an older one. So I'm kind of sort of going on the primitive right now. It's not on my phablet.
Okay. I did have one quick story.
Yes.
Okay. I did have one quick story I was going to share about the Rhapsody in Blue. Of course, that was introduced by Pops Paul Whiteman. I think it was at Carnegie Hall, and it was the writer of that, George Gershwin, who also played the piano for it, and just one of the great American jazz pieces ever created. And an interesting thing about that is just before they broadcast the premiere of Rhapsody in Blue, they took out a whole section of George Gershwin's tune and didn't use it. They just eliminated it before they broadcast it. Now, what's funny is 2 days before that, George Gershwin had pounded out on the piano, onto a piano roll, the entire version. A friend of mine who was also kind of a third wheel on our Weirdness Really Bad, our Weirdness a radio show way back in the 70s and early 80s, he found an album where they not only played the piano roll, but they orchestrated it. So it was the one and only time you'd ever hear the entire George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue because they used the guide of the piano roll that George Gershwin himself pounded out.
And at least today, to preserve the history the way it was done. Well done, sir.
So are you all ready for Easter, CW?
Are you still there, CW? We see you, but we don't hear you.
I have that problem with Blog Talk myself.
Yes. Tell you what we'll do. We'll play a little tune while we try to bring CW back here to Erie House Radio. Dave, you got a nickel?
I got a nickel. It'll get paid for next week, so that's all I got left, but it's for you.
Aw, shuckins.
And now let's have roll call and see if the following men are here. J.H. Cross, APO 758, First Sergeant Tony Mateo, also of APO 758, and Earl Barnett, APO 958. I hope you're all present, fellas, because here comes the song you asked for. Ella Mae Moore singing No Love, No Nothing.
No love, no
until my baby comes home. No, sir, no, nothing. As long as baby must roam, I promised him I'd wait for him till even hate is cold. I'm lonesome, heaven knows, but what I said still goes. No love, no nothing, and that's the promise I'll keep. No fun with no one, I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's on strike, and though it's like an empty honeycomb. No love, no sir, no nothing till my baby comes home.
You will do another all music show. We got a little less than a minute left. Thanks everybody for listening live. Fogs Bane, GGSI Paper. We got, I hope, CW here in the studio with us.
Yes, I'm back.
Yay! Just in time to say goodnight and hang out with us for a little bit in the after party while we talk about you. So that's right, you're gonna have to go back into the archives and listen to us gossip about you. Maybe that'll make them listen. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. See you next week.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her!
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
What out, Vincent. Thank you. Well done.
There you go.
Hey, after party.
After party.
Sorry about that.
Well,
believe me, it's as much blog talk as anything else. I'm back to my phone again until I can figure out what's going on with that. So fun. Hey, glad you could make it though. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm back on a phone as well right now. I was using just straight Wi-Fi, then all of a sudden Blog Talk petered out. So now I'm back on cellular.
Why, those doity rats. Those doity rats.
I'm sure my next-door neighbors will be happy I'm not on their Wi-Fi anymore.
There you go.
That was my inside voice talking again.
Yep. You gotta be careful of that.
Yeah, I would have said something, but I have no room to talk. my inside voice does not stay inside very long.
I'm thinking perhaps I can invest in one of those Franken trees that you see, those artificial trees that are in actuality just a huge Wi-Fi tower.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know about that.
Nice.
I haven't seen that. I'll have to look that up.
Oh, yeah. Just look under Franken trees. They're in a lot of national parks because they figured people should be able to call for help if they're, oh, I don't know, hanging on the edge of a cliff and they won't let go of the phone to pull themselves up, but they'll key in 911 before they try and pull themselves up. So, you know, I'm hanging from the edge of a cliff. Use both hands. No, I'll lose my iPhone.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
No.
That's interesting. Yeah, Frankentrees, tree grafting projects, yes.
Weird.
Oh, yeah, they're in lots of rural areas that, because of certain incidents, that people finally got wise. People live in the 21st century, and they're going to need some help from time to time. And if you don't have any cellular service and there are no payphones anymore and there's no neighbors, especially if you've seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you don't want to knock on your neighbor's door.
Yeah. There's a channel on Pluto has been running Texas Chainsaw 2, which is actually quite comical. Intentionally, it's one of the first gory comedies I ever saw outside of Monty Python, of course.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Holy Grail?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, the knight. It's only a flesh wound. It's only a flesh wound. You see? I can still do it.
Come back, I'll bite your kneecap off. You coward!
At least they weren't striving for realism with the gore. It was ridiculous because it was meant to be ridiculous.
It was squirting out, yeah.
It was all over the place.
I cut your arm off. No, you haven't. You got your blood. It's a flesh wound. Oh, my.
Too good.
Oh, my goodness. Now I need to see that movie again, especially with the rabbit.
Oh, God, there's so many rabbits.
No, you can't march that part, because that's when they get out the holy hand grenade.
Must have the holy hand grenade.
Oh, my. You have a flying rabbit. Going for the throat. Yeah. So many wonderful parts from that.
Absurdity at its finest. That's Monty Python at that period.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I can't wait to bring, I got a goon show scheduled up in the not too distant future here. And that is the humor that Monty Python, if it weren't for the goon show, it might not have been a Monty Python type thing, because they really set absurdity at a high level. It was on radio from 1951 to 58 or 59. And it was so absurd, the stories that Spike Milligan would come up with and support, you know, and filled it in with special sound effects. And they had a singer and a band and a harmonica player. So what more could you ask for? Absurdity and harmonicas. But, yeah. What a great movie that truly was. It was just, some of the other movies were just kind of bits and pieces of their best TV things redone. But that was all put together new, uniquely and new. And from the telling how she was a witch to bringing out the dead to the rabbit and the holy hand grenade and the bringing your shrubberies and so many great bits that somehow they lace together to tell a story.
Yes, and the galloping with the clacking coconuts for
yeah.
And Sir Robin had his own minstrel following him around, singing it as it was happening.
Yeah, I know. That's where the Princess Bride stole a lot of stuff from that movie. The Princess Bride, the shtick and whatnot that was going on. I know The Princess Bride is a great movie, but I know for a fact they stole some stuff from Holy Grail.
Yeah, because that did precede it. So, yeah, you're right.
Why those dirty?
Why I oughta. Well, gentlemen, with that said, I've just gotten behind the wheel of the vehicle, so I must be away.
Ooh, yes, be safe, Dan.
All right.
Yeah,
yes.
So I know, yeah, talking on the phone and driving, especially when there's a sheriff's car right across the way from me looking at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, they're not a good thing. Hey, we thank you for calling in and being part of the show tonight.
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate your insights and your sense of humor.
Thank you. Yes, warped though it may be, there you are.
Why you fit in. That's why you fit in.
That's right.
Aw, shucks.
Well, then maybe we should just call in Mr. Durant. CW, you're good. You do a wonderful job of that. So if you would do the honors.
The Schnozola himself, Mr. Durante, if you please.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. Lord, what more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and it could think it do. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always, obediently yours.